This episode is brought to you by Amazon.com. Shop at Amazon by first going to our website, arthouse43.com or troymeetsworld.com. You click on the Amazon link at the top and then you shop away your life. Brings a little money to the show. Doesn't cost you anything. It's super easy and you can support the show. You can also go to our website and click on donate and just do it directly if you want to be a sponsor, a personal sponsor. We would love you if you did. Okay, start the show. Dangerously close to episode 100. I don't know why I'm getting so angry about it. It's like a milestone. It's an achievement. 100 episodes. How about that? Fuck yeah. Are you doing all right? Are you surviving? Are you enjoying summer? It's about to get sunny. In just 8 weeks from now, everybody will be like, oh, the sun. I hate it. Just want it to rain or be cool. I can't wait for pumpkin season. You know, that's you. I can hear you saying that. Yeah, things have been good here. Lots of Detroit art stuff last night. Went downtown for a show for Charles McGee, who's a 92-year-old guy. Very talented. Very old. He put up a mural in downtown Detroit. You should look it up. It's really cool. I mean, he didn't. He designed it, and I'm sure some younger people put it up. Not that that's any different. I mean, Damien Hirst has studio artists, so as long as you come up with it and people help carry it out, that's just still your vision, right? I mean, in this case, I would say for sure Charles McGee. Damien Hirst, I don't know. Hey, guys, how about a shark tank full of dead sharks and put some blue liquid in there, all right? I'll be back at 5. I'm going to go golfing, right? I put a basketball in there as well. Make it a separate one. Damien Hirst, everybody. Give that guy $1 million. That's what he does. How about Jeff Koons? Do you like Jeff Koons? Let's see. How about a large blue ball put on top of the Empire State Building? Mwah! That's mine. Jeff Koons, everybody. The two of the richest guys in the world. Yeah, we're going to talk about rich things in the art world. I know you know what I'm going to say. It's been a big week for certain somebody. But we'll get back to that. So I saw that downtown. It was a great turnout. If you don't know some of the Detroit art stuff, some really great stuff happening down there. I've been to art openings for Shepherd Fairey. Same kind of crew that puts those shows on. They took a place in Woodward. If you don't know what I'm talking about, that's fine. Huge space. Lots of people come out. It's great to be in a city where there are big turnouts and you might see some somewhat celebrities at these, at least modest ones. I'm not talking about myself, by the way, although I could in my mind. So that was a great time handing out free cocktails. That always gets the party going, right? Yeah. And then I headed uptown to Midtown and hit MOCAD, the Museum of Contemporary Art Detroit. And there's a thing called, if you don't know what Art Prize is, it's a art competition in Grand Rapids, which is west of here. It's over towards the lake shore on the other side of the state, coast to coast, on Lake Michigan. That's the best lake of them all, if you don't know. Although some people might say Superior, but I have to say I've never seen Superior, so I can't really say that. But Lake Michigan has the best beaches. You should know that. So Art Prize people do this thing called Pitch Night. Big prize money at Art Prize, okay? About 250 grand for they have two winners. Each get about 200 grand, I think. And one of them is juried. The public gets to vote on the other one. So they text in their votes or whatever through an app, and whoever the public picks gets 200 grand. Pretty dope, right? And then the other one was juried, of course, where art snobs from New York come in and tell people, yes, this one really speaks to me for whatever reason. So there's that. And what they do is they do these pitch night things where they come around with cash to wherever they've, and not real cash, they're not gangsters, I'm not saying that, art gangsters, art prize, the world's first art gangsters. No, they come around and offer like $5,000. I think it's, somebody from Art Prize can correct me on this if they're listening, but they come around with like grants or something like that. So they have different artists pitch art project ideas for the upcoming Art Prize in September. And then they have a panel of people who pick one, and that artist gets a little bit of dollar bills and gets to have their vision realized. That's what it's all about, right? Making it manifest into reality. It was a good time. MoCad's always a great scene. Lots of people there. Good turnout. I will say this about Art Prize, and I'm only going to bring this up because they brought it up. Somebody from Art Prize, I'm not sure who it was, but they noted that on stage, all five, they had five artists pitch their ideas, right? All five artists were white. Now, this is not me criticizing. That's they brought this up themselves, which I give them total credit for. But you're talking about a city of, I don't know, what's the black population? That's all right. That's right, liberals. I said black, okay? I didn't say African-American. Why don't you ask people what they'd like to be called? I bet you it's black. I mean, that's, at least that's the people that I know. Okay, maybe some of them like to be called African-American. I don't know. But, you know. Just deal with it. The black population in Detroit's what, like 75-80%? And so if you've got five artists up there and they're all white, then I think it was good of them to recognize that there are still things that maybe need to connect between Art Prize and Detroit, artist wise. Candidacies, is that plural? Candidates. But you know, some of it could be also that, you know, I know Art Prize, this is the 9th Art Prize. So maybe if pitch nights have been going on for say a handful of years, probably not the whole time. I don't know the history, but if it's the case where it's been some of the years and not all of them, maybe it takes a while to connect with the art scenes, in different cities, because I know they go to New Orleans or they go maybe to Oakland or something like that. So it's hard to show up to a place and have a process that sort of seems balanced or to represent the population there. So that's, I thought it was great of them to bring up, because it's important. And I was a little late, so I didn't get to, don't tell them that. I was a little late, and so I didn't get to see the presentations, but I was there for the second half where they had questions and people were having conversations about the projects and sort of what the mindset they had going into it or visioning it or maybe what some of the commentary was or what they had in mind. So I unfortunately didn't get to see the projects, but And I don't even know where these artists are from. They might be from downtown or midtown or metro area. I guess that's a big question, right? Are you when you talk about Detroit, does that include Bloomfield? Does it include Cranbrook, Grosse Pointe? I mean, that's a tough call because if you're talking about Detroit, that might, if you ask a real Detroiter, and I'm not saying that's me, but they might have a different answer. So that's something to consider as well. But anyway, it was a good time. You can't ask for more than that to have two art openings. And I'm sure tonight there's tons of stuff going on. But I can't do art stuff all the night, especially if I drink too much, which I did because it was free and they're handing out free cocktails. And if you think I'm not going to partake, you don't know Troy. That's what you don't know. You should know that I'm going to take that drink off that tray if you put it in front of my face. Like a hawk murders food with its face, I'm gonna kill it with my mouth. just killing it all day long, just slinging drinks back into my drink hole. Anyway, so all that was fun. Since we're in the art world at the moment, I was listening to a podcast called The Joe Rogan Experience, which is probably the best podcast out there, in my opinion. It's just conversations, if you haven't heard it. But that's what life is. So I was listening to Bill Burr, and they were talking about a painting that recently sold for $110 million. And that leads us to the first and probably only story for Friday Stories. This is Friday Stories, by the way. Just welcome. Jean-Michel Basquiat.
You're Haitian, Puerto Rican? Is that?
I was born here, but my mother's first generation Puerto Rican. My father comes from Haiti.
No, do you feel that's in your art?
Genetically?
Genetically or
yeah, I guess so.
Culturally, I mean, from your.
Culturally.
I mean, for instance, I mean, Haiti is of course famous for its art.
Yeah, that's why I said genetically, because I've never been there.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I grew up in, you know, a pretty typical American vacuum, you know.
Television
mostly.
Yeah, no Haitian primitives on your wall?
At home? Haitian primitives, I mean, people?
No.
People
I mean,
mailed
paintings.
Up on my walls?
Paintings.
No. Just, you know, the typical prints, you know. Like you'd find any home in America. Well, some homes in America. But nothing really special.
Yeah. And so you wouldn't really attribute anything in your work to those roots?
Probably the frustration of the way I grew up probably has something to do with it, you know?
Oh, yeah, you think there's frustration in your art?
No, but I think frustration probably caused me to do a lot of it, you know? Like, you know, I had to leave home to go out, in a way, do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, my whole life, I went to school and I came home, and that was it, you know? Like, I really didn't have any friends or anything. I just kind of, like, just stayed home and went to school, I mean, over and over again. I went to the movies once in a while.
Yeah, and so you started drawing as a way of...
I always enjoyed drawing, you know. But what I'm saying is that I couldn't really do anything, you know. So once I left home, you know, so I started doing all that drinking and throwing bottles and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and drawing on the streets.
Yeah.
Which was that was rooted in a frustration.
I'd say so.
Yeah. And. And does that spirit carry over into your paintings, do you think?
Well, I hope so. I think I was getting soft.
So as you heard in there, that's a clip of an interview. It's from artnewyork.org. New York is spelled out. And I'm just going to, since I played their clip, I guess they have it for sale, so I'm going to encourage you to buy that from them so that they maybe... If they hear this, then they're like, hey, that guy's stealing our material. No, I'm just giving you a promotion. So go to artnewyork.org and buy their thing if you're interested. Mark Miller, I believe, was the interviewer. And I don't think one of the things that could be interesting about getting that, or there are a bunch of documentaries on Netflix, I think, at least, about Basquiat, is I don't think he did that many interviews. And part of the reason is because he died really young, I think. But that doesn't mean he wasn't part of the limelight or the star world, so to speak. He was, if you don't know Basquiat, he was an American artist, background Puerto Rican, Haitian. By the way, rest of the world, that's how Americans talk. If you don't know, now you know. If you're an American, somebody says, so what, where are you from? What are you? What they're saying is, are you Mexican? Are you Polish? What's your background? Where did your family come over from when they stepped off the boat? That's what they're talking about. So it reminds me of a story once, though, because there could be a bad thing about that. And that's as we get away from that start of what's known as what became the United States. We'll get farther away from that and we just won't remember. But I remember I was living in England and I asked somebody, because I, for some reason, always curious, like, what do you call someone who, say, has a background from Africa, ethnicity, and they're British? What do you call them, African British? Do you call them African English? And they just looked at me like I was a fool and said, we call them British. And I was like, gotcha. That's a good thing. Reminds me of that Homer Simpson episode where he thinks Bart's gay. And so he tries to do manly things with him. And then he befriends a gay guy named John. And at the end of the episode, Homer steps up to defend his friend John in front of attacks by Mo and Barney or whatever. And he goes, he's my friend and he's a homo. No, wait, queer, right? And John goes, well, that or John. I didn't retell that very much. Maybe I'll edit that out. Actually, I'm going to leave it in. Fuck you if you didn't like it. So yeah, anyway, Basquiat, born in 1960, died of an overdose in 1988, famously said, I don't think about art when I'm working. I think about life. Good on you. Good on you. That's what you think about. You think about life. You don't think about what you're doing. If you're thinking about what you're doing, you're probably not into it. You're too outside of it. You got to be in it. I'm not speaking for him. I'm speaking for me, or at least in my experience, other people that I know who've described their process. Seems like that's kind of the thing. Anyway, why am I talking about this? Well, I'm talking about this because one of Basquiat's paintings. Hold on, let me grab my beautiful little laptop here. And so one of his paintings, Untitled, goes for $110 million to a Japanese billionaire. He says, quote, I decided to go for it. Now his plans are, it's a 1982 skull painting, and Mr. Yusaka Mazawa decided to go for it and paid $110 million, it looks like, at Sotheby's. Sotheby's sound like, I don't know, feel like they're a bunch of assholes. Am I right in saying that? I mean, it's a beautiful painting. I like it. But Mr. Uzawa, or Mazawa, says that he's going to let it go on tour and for exhibits around the world before he puts it into a collection in somewhere in Japan. Now, question. Why Japan? You know, I live like two blocks from the Detroit Institute of Arts, and it's great, and I love going up there. And I go up there all the time. It's free if you live in the city, by the way. But when I go up there and I see like a Van Gogh or a Monet, I'm you know, I like those guys, and I love Matisse. It's great to look at, but could you make the argument that it shouldn't be here? You know, should the Van Gogh be in the Netherlands? And I'm not trying to get nationalistic here. The point I'm trying to make is that maybe I should be seeing Detroit artists. Maybe it should be a museum full of Detroit art. There's a Rodin out front that supposedly is like the sixth cast one. Nobody knows how it got here. It was like early 20th century when this city was booming. But if I want to see some European painters, shouldn't I have to go to Europe? I mean, why is the goal always to get your hands on a European painter? Renaissance, you know, Fauvist, whatever it is. Cubist. I'm not saying I don't like those things. It's the same thing if I head from the DIA down a few blocks to the Detroit Symphony. And I'm not picking on those two. It's every institution that does this. The Detroit Symphony is going to be playing Mozart and Beethoven. Why? Why don't you play something by me? I'm here. What about, you know how many, I'm sure there are lots of people, DJs and composers and musicians, you know, who would love to have their pieces played by the Detroit Symphony. Nick Cave is playing a show tomorrow at the Masonic Temple. I think he may have gone to Cranbrook, but I'm not sure. He does a lot of stuff here. He shows up a lot, so there's some sort of tie. Why don't you play something by Nick Cave? I mean, you know, if I want to hear Beethoven, shouldn't I have to go to Germany in a way? Did you see what I'm saying? I'm not saying that stuff shouldn't show up here. Maybe a special touring exhibit. But shouldn't like the permanent collection be where you're at? in a way. And I'm not saying that it should be eliminated. It should be a percentage, but I think we got it flipped the same way we got it flipped when it comes to taxes. And it's probably a stretch, but why am I paying more federal taxes? I should be paying city the most to my city, the most to my state, second most to my state, and then the last should be the feds. Why am I giving all my money to the feds when that could be going to Idaho? Nothing against Idahoans, nothing against New Mexicans or Alabamans, but I don't want, I'm working all week so I can give you my money? What the fuck does that work? To spin this around, I don't want your fucking money either. Keep it for yourself. Put it in your neighborhood. I'd rather your money go to the little old lady down the street. Some little old lady lives next to me, right? Theoretically, let's say. I get a paycheck, and instead of going next door and giving it to her, I got to give it to some dickhead in Washington who takes a cut, and then the institution itself, the IRS or whatever, takes a cut. And then by the time it gets back to the little old lady, how much is left of that pie? Crumbs, if anything. Crumbs. I'm not sure where this analogy fell apart, but it fell apart some time ago. I think it was that the area that you're in should be the ones that get the most representation. That's where I think I was going with that. And I may have just saved my ass by pulling that out. And I'm not even sure if that's the way I intended it, but I think it was. So that's one question I had about the Basquiat painting being in Japan. If I go to Japan, I don't want to see Detroit painters or Basquiat. I want to see, you know, traditional samurai gear or whatever. You know, I know that a lot of that stuff's going to be more prevalent there. There's going to be more of it than there is going to be in Chicago or whatever. But I think we're still experiencing the ghosts of European pasts. Europeans past. Don't you feel that way? Like that colonization thing? And I'm not trying to sound like, you know, I just like to get up each day and look at everybody as an individual and be nice to them and be cool and be happy. I don't give a shit what you are or what you do as long as you're not hurting anybody else. I don't want to think that way. But sometimes it does matter because it affects culture. And I think that this idea that somebody can take a Brooklyn-born painter and pile it up in Japan because he's a billionaire and he's got more money than everybody else. I mean, the guy spent $110 million on a painting. You don't do that if you don't have billions and billions like he clearly does. You know, there are people who are hoarding it. And I'm talking about the money. And actually, the paintings are becoming money. If you've ever worked in a museum, you know how it works. You think he's donating money, this painting that he just bought for $110 million? I guarantee you that's going straight into an exhibit. Guarantee you. And do you know why? Because he doesn't have to pay taxes on it. That's why. Or he gets a portion of his taxes comped. That's how it works. It's all about money. There was a Francis Bacon painting that the same thing happened. And I won't mention where or what painting it was, but it was a triptych. And it went it was bought in the same fashion. I think it was $142 million. Went straight into a museum. Because you get tax breaks when you give it to a museum to show. Not you don't give it to them permanently, but it's like the museum because it has a payroll and it has people look after it and it has the temperature controlled and you literally have guards there watching it for you. You're getting a tax break and they're taking care of it for you. It's your gold. That's what paintings are from that perspective. They're gold. They're modern day versions of the gold standard. Because if the American dollar collapses, all the money you have in your bank is worthless. Even if you had it piled up under your bed, you had $1,000 is not very much, but let's say you had $20,000 stuffed in your sock. What a sock! In your house somewhere, buried in the backyard next to your dog's bone. Well, guess what? Your dog's bone is more valuable than your money if the system collapses. If you know, like in East Germany, when that system collapsed. The Eastern Deutschmark or whatever it was, it didn't mean anything. It was over. It didn't exist anymore. A new one had to start up. So you're fucked, basically. But you know when you're not fucked if you have a house or if you own things like paintings. That translates into the new currency. It's called diversifying your portfolio, maybe? I don't know how billionaires talk, but that's one of the things. Okay, I'm not going to rant about rich guys the whole time. I just wanted to get that out of the way because it bugs me that people can sit around and spend $110 million on paintings like this whole world is their fucking playground and they can do whatever the hell they want while the rest of us have to, you know, serve them sushi or wash their whatever. Wash their me undies. So let's put that aside. Now, going back to the Joe Rogan comment, which I made earlier, which you might have thought, like, what the fuck did he mention that for? Are they a sponsor of the show? No. I heard them talk about the Basquiat painting and they just tore it apart. Because here's the thing about Basquiat, if you don't know, I like his paintings. I don't necessarily like all of them, but I do love a lot of the ones that I've seen or the ones I've seen pictures of. To me, there's something brilliant about it. The way that the strokes happen, and I'm not even sure what you call that, but if you look at a Basquiat, that's really good. Some of the times, if you just look at the makeup of it, the texture, not the texture. If you look at the brush strokes, you can almost, it's almost like, looks like somebody walked by there and within 10 seconds made like 15 strokes. And that was it. If you look at it individually, like it just looks like, you know, quick. It was like a quickie, an art quickie. That's what we call it in the art world. but when you stand back and you look at it, it's brilliant. It looks like something that's beautiful. You know, like if whether it's a skull or two monkeys, there's one called Valentine out on the West Coast. It's really beautiful. So on the one hand, there's that take. And on the other hand, I started to think like, okay, so Joe Rogan in particular is a really good drawer. If you've never seen some of his drawings, you should look at them. They're really cool. And Bill Burr is maybe a little bit on the non-artsy side, pro sports side, but he seems like a really cool guy. And I don't think that it was them in particular that they were sort of saying like, look at this. It looks like a child drew this and he got $110 million. I can see where they're coming from, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful to Basquiat, but you can see it. If you just look at Jean-Michel Basquiat right now and Google it in your phone, you'll see it too. You could see why somebody would say that. So it just was an interesting thing that I wanted to bring up because it makes me think about what we think, not only what art is, but what's valuable and how do you value art? I love the Francis Bacon paintings that were sold for $142 million. But I can also see the arguments against people spending money like that. And well, there's a huge difference in style between Francis Bacon and Basquiat. But for the Basquiat, I can see where people might go, this is bullshit. It looks like my child drew this. People were saying that about the Bacon when I was standing in front of it. And I wish I could remember what it was called, but it was a triptych and it was a guy sitting in a chair, I believe. But it was three different sort of versions of that. And I can remember one guy, a drunk guy, who came into the museum and was saying he knew it was $142 million, so people wanted to check it out for that reason. They wanted to see what it looked like. What is this going to be the biggest thing in the world, right? It's going to be the greatest thing. This guy was a painter, of course, failed painter, from Chicago, because people from Chicago like to tell you they're from Chicago. And he said, oh, this is bullshit, he said in front of a whole group of people. Because he's angry, because he thinks that's bullshit. That he, whether, didn't tell him the price tag, maybe he would like it. I don't know. He probably wouldn't, because art is just like everything else. It's competitive. People think other people suck. And they do it sometimes to tear the other person down, to sort of lift themselves up. People with no light to shine themselves shine light on the negativity of others so that they can look more positive themselves. It does happen. That's just the way the world works. That's how humans work. We're flawed. We're not AI. All right. We're humans. An AI drives down the road and thinks about getting safely from point A to point B, where to turn left, the speed limit to go, right? A human doesn't do that. It thinks about where its life went wrong. Does it have to buy milk and cashews at the store? Oh, look, there's a red light. Better stop for that. Damn, I wonder why my mom doesn't call me anymore. You know, things like that. We're human. We're flawed. It doesn't make sense. We're illogical. But I love lots of things about being human. God, I'm getting lost in my own rants today. Anyway, I thought it was an interesting thing because I can definitely see why people would think that it's bullshit. That's a bullshit painting, maybe. I think it's beautiful. It looks beautiful to me. To be fair to Basquiat, all of these art price tags are fucking bullshit. None of them should be that high, I don't think. You know, I mean, rewind the clock into what, to the 60s or 70s. You could buy Monets back then for like $100,000, probably $50,000, maybe. And now you try to buy any of them, and you're talking seven figures, multiple times over. I think a lot of it has to do with the very wealthy making it their playground. It's just another investment. It doesn't mean that people don't appreciate it. I'm not saying that Mr. Misawa doesn't love it. He probably does, and great for him. I'm glad. Take your $110 million painting, take it to Japan, and fuck off. Thanks for listening. Art House Radio is brought to you by people like you. Go to our website, arthouse43.com. You can click on donate and donate directly to the show, or you can click on the Amazon link on our homepage. And before you shop, and that brings a little money to the show as well. Boy, I sound a little angry there at the end. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to sound angry. Good for Jean-Michel Basquiat and his family. I hope they probably deserve it. I don't know if, I don't know if I like the idea of art being that pricey, but whatever. What are you going to do? I'm probably just a jealous fuckface. That's probably what it is. And so are you. So whatever. Thank you for listening. This has been Friday Stories. This is episode number 95. I've got a John Cagean, Glenn Branca type thing coming up tomorrow, I believe. And then I'm going to talk with some people next week. So I will see you then. I hope you have a lovely weekend. I hope you get all of what you wish and desire and more, just like Walt Disney would wish for you back in the old days, when you wish upon his star. It was always his star, wasn't it? I think he liked Nazis, but whatever. Anyway, to you and Walt Disney and to the rest of the world, I bid you a fond farewell, good night, and I will see you soon. Until next time, friends.